Do you need help with your journey following Jesus? Has your Bible reading brought up some interesting questions?
I need a prayer request.
Is I've heard pastors talk about you can't get to heaven just with good deeds.
I was just wondering what you guys think. Is there a correlation between the seventh trumpet and Revelations as the last trumpet, or is he talking about some other trumpet?
Finally, a place to get answers. We're ready to take your prayer request and answer your Bible questions. Call in at 303-690-3000. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Josh Sorensen. So good to be with you on this beautiful Friday, May 26th. I say beautiful, although it is raining and hailing and gray outside. So if you like rain, which I do, it's a beautiful day. For those of you that are currently out driving in that, just be safe, please. Unfortunately for us, we just got done, I hope and think, with the rain here. I'm newer to Colorado, and I'm learning that when it rains in sequences. So we had a big black cloud over us, tons of hail, which we weren't expecting. But once it passes, it seems to be kind of just moving on. So myself and our very fine producer, Dennis, we both made it here to the Grace FM offices safely. So good to be with you for Calvary Life. I'm going to go ahead and give out the numbers if you have a Bible question or a prayer request, 303-690-3000. We encourage you guys to call. This show is for you. Otherwise, you have to hear me talk, and ain't nobody got time for that. So 303-690-3000. We're really here to answer your Bible questions, here to encourage you as best we can, here to pray for you. Again, I say it at the beginning of every show, but one of the great privileges of Calvary Live is that when we pray for you on the air, and sadly, we don't get to every single prayer request, but we will pray for every prayer request. That is a guarantee. But for those of us that pray on the air together, we also have a family of people listening all throughout the United States and even beyond, praying with you. So there's nothing like knowing that we're praying about the burden that you're carrying, or we're praying about the issue that you're lifting up to the Lord, or we're praying about that illness that you have, or for your loved one, or for your prodigal, whatever it might be, addiction. And we also have others all throughout the states agreeing with us and praying too. So it's such a privilege to be able to come to the Lord, and then to be able to do it here on Calvary Live is just wonderful. So I certainly don't take it for granted myself, and would be honored to pray for you today. 303-690-3000. Maybe there's something that's been pressing on your heart in terms of a Bible question, or something related to Christian living, and you've been looking at your Bibles, in particular verses in your personal devotional life, and thinking, man, I don't understand what that means, or I'd like to get a little bit more insight on that. Well, Calvary Live, this show, provides an opportunity for you to call and talk to a pastor about that. And so that's what we make ourselves available to do on this show. And so we are privileged to be able to help in that way if we can. I personally just love talking about the Bible. There's nothing like it. You know, one of the things about the Bible that's so beautiful is there's never wasted time. Even if we don't always understand the Bible intellectually as we're reading it, we can always know that God is doing a work spiritually, because he promises his word never returns void. And that's a good encouragement. I don't know if you guys have done this, but I've done this many times where perhaps the beginning of the year we make a resolution to read the Bible. And so we want to go through from Genesis to Revelation, and we read Genesis and it's good, and Exodus and it's good. And then we start to get into Leviticus and we're getting very, very confused. And then by the time we get to Numbers, we close our Bibles and say, okay, I'm just going to wait and just, I'm done at this point. I don't understand. We're going to talk to the pastor about that. And that's really what this show is for. Just any questions that you may have regarding the Bible, we'd love to encourage you with that. Again, I encourage you guys too to make sure that as you're reading and studying the Bible on your own, that you have a good study Bible. That's a great resource for you. I also encourage you guys to check out blueletterbible.com. That's a great resource for you to get perhaps deeper insight into scriptures. You can even go into the Greek and the Hebrew there at blueletterbible.com. There's a lot of resources out there for you, for sure. But we certainly want to be one of those resources. And again, our heart is not necessarily to to dig into deep theology, because we only have so much time here on the show. And theology is a great thing, but we want to see not just information, but transformation. So we just want to see God move in the hearts of his people through his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. So again, our number, 303-690-3000, 303-690-3000. Now, if we don't get calls in, then again, I'm going to just share some things that are on my heart with you, some things I've been thinking through. I had an anonymous text come through the other day. It actually made me laugh. It said, "Pastor loves to hear himself speak a lot." And I can tell you that is not the case, nor does my wife love to hear me speak a lot. So there's two people right there that don't like to hear me speak a lot. But no, if we don't get calls in, then obviously we're just going to talk and share things that are on our hearts and what we're processing. But we would prefer to hear from you guys. So again, we've got a couple lines open here, 303-690-3000, or our text line. If you would like to text this particular number I'm going to give you here, you can even put it into your phone and save it, because it's available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is 720-336-0897, 720-336-0897, and that is available, again, to be able to pray for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It does get passed on to many, many people to pray, so very thankful to have that available for you guys as well. So we're going to go right to the calls here. We've got Anthony here in Denver. Good afternoon, Anthony.
Hi, Pastor. Thanks for having me on.
You're so welcome. Are you staying safe with the rain and the hail?
Yeah, it just passed really unexpectedly.
Yeah, very odd. I was picking up my kids, drove them back home real quick, and we just realized it hailed. And we got, of course, that massive hailstorm a week ago or so. So was not That's expecting right. that, but glad to hear you're doing well.
I am. Thanks. Yeah, my question is pretty simple. I talked to my cousin, who I think is a member of Calvary, about the scriptures, and basically my question is, because he tells me everything that we ought to believe should come from scripture, and I've looked into other denominations, and but one of the questions I had for him is, the scriptures are the inspired word of God, but I don't, apparently there's no list of what scriptures are the scriptures in the Bible. So how do we know that the ones that are in the Bible are the only ones that should be, or that they're inspired based on the Bible?
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Oh, it definitely makes sense. I just had a conversation not too long ago with somebody regarding this too, and I think it's a really good question. And really, it's a deeper topic to really dig into if you're interested in it, because there's much to say about this. But what's wonderful is as we ask a question like this about the scriptures, we want to know the trustworthiness of it. And so, again, how do we know which scriptures are inspired, and how do we know they made it into the Bible? And what about the ones that didn't make it into the Bible? So again, God's word, I'll just start by saying, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, all scripture, now at that point, they didn't have a New Testament. So all scripture at that point was referencing the Old Testament. But there were already letters of Paul, and there were already the gospel letters that were beginning to get circulated throughout the early church. So all scripture is God-breathed. And that's the word that we get. All scripture is inspired by God. It's breathed out by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that verse tells us God inspired all scripture, that it's profitable to all of us. It's not just the parts of the Bible that deal with doctrines that are inspired, but each and every word from Genesis to Revelation is inspired. And I also love a verse I'll share, and then I'll get to your question specifically. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 tells us prophecy came by not by the will of man, but by holy men of God, as they spoke, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word there means, that word moved in the Greek, it's a word picture. So in English, we translated it that these men were moved by the Holy Spirit to write down what God wanted them to write down. But it's a word picture, and it literally means to hoist a sail, like in a sailboat, and for the wind to move that boat in the sail. So men of God were moved like the wind in a sail to write down exactly what it was that he wanted to communicate to us. And so what God did then is as they wrote that down, he breathed, he inspired those words. It wasn't like they were robotically possessed by God to write down, you know, because you can notice as you read the different scriptures, some are different genres. You've got poetry, you've got history, you've got narrative, and some you can read the personalities, particularly as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can see the personalities of the writers in there. So it wasn't that they were, again, just robotically possessed by God. That's not what that means when it says they were moved, but in their personalities and with their gifts and their and their perspectives, they were writing down what they had seen, what they had heard. John tells us, and also he says what we have handled, what we touched, because he was, of course, the disciple that was closest with Jesus of the 12. So they're writing down, but then God is breathing his life and inspiring the words that they're writing down. And so in the early church, they would take these letters or these gospels, and they would be circulated throughout the church. And so these letters would be copied in very, very specific detail, excruciating detail, by scribes. And these scribes would write down word for word. And that's a process worth looking into. I think it's a beautiful process of how they did it. So, for example, if in the middle of the page of the original letter, they would write down exactly the word that would be in the middle of that page. And if they were off by a word or ahead of a word, they would throw it away and start all over again. So they really wanted to get the original texts inspired by God. They wanted to get those in detail. So they began to copy those and send them throughout the churches. They're now called, we have the oldest texts are called the majority texts, and we've got more of these than any other historical document ever, which is remarkable. And so in the church now, these letters were producing life, and people were receiving guidance and ministry from the Holy Spirit. And so what happened then is later there was a council of church leaders. And what they didn't do is they didn't go through and say, okay, here's the books of the Bible we're going to pick and not pick. But they looked at God's word and said, okay, we're going to see which letters have proven that they have the veracity and the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit ministering already through the churches. So by this point, the letters have been written. Again, they had the Old Testament law, which went through the same kind of excruciating detail. And they had a series of tests as well, where they would say, okay, if there's any contradiction, we're going to look at that. If there's any historical inaccuracies, we're going to look at that. And so they decided to include the books into what's called the canon of Scripture, which is now what we have. We have the Bible, which Bible just means books. And so our Bible is a collection of 66 different books that have gone through. Not only have they gone through all the detail of the process of being put into the canon, but the only reason they were included is because they had already been proven now for hundreds of years that they were authoritative, that they came from the hand of God, and I would even say the breath of God as he breathed his life into it. And Paul even said, too, these things are inspired by God. It even talks about one of the letters written in that day by Peter as scripture already. So early on, they're already including some of these things as scripture. Now, the books that didn't make it into the Bible, some of those books have some great historical things to read or to look into. Some of that adds some context perhaps to what's happening politically in the day, or common customs and manners of the day, those kind of things. But they were not included because they didn't stand those tests in terms of their power and their veracity and their authority and the trustworthiness. And so one of the ways I've studied this and looked into it, and I encourage anybody that's interested in this to do that, because the more you study it, the stronger your faith grows to believe that God did communicate exactly what he wanted to communicate to us from his word, which is beautiful. But it also tells us too that God is powerful enough to communicate to people, and he decided to do that through other people. And he decided to do that through them writing down what he wanted to communicate to them. And then he's preserved it. And he preserved it through times of great persecution where they were trying to get rid of the Bible and they were throwing away and burning texts. He provided it through all sorts of weather and storms and hurricanes and earthquakes when it could have, those manuscripts could have been destroyed. And he's given us year after year after year scholars that are able to look at these things and continue to verify. And beyond that, then of course, we know that these things are inspired because of prophecy. There are hundreds of prophecies that were written that have been fulfilled. And there are things that were written now that archaeologists are finding to be true. So there's so much evidence and so much proof to the inspiration of the scriptures. And so there's some great books that are written out there. Norm Geisler has written some great books on the veracity of scripture. There's a book by F.F. Bruce, which is a little bit more of a heady book, but he goes through all of this. It's called The Canon of Scripture. So that's a lot, I'm sure, you know, because you said your friend's simply just asking this question, but I'm sort of just going into a little bit of detail here just for yourself, of course, but also for those that are listening in to know that we can trust wholeheartedly, 100%, this book called the Bible that we hold in our hands.
That's wonderful. It makes sense to me. Thank you for explaining that. I guess just a really short follow-up, if I may.
Absolutely.
So my only, I guess, follow-up question would be then there are, because there's not a list of scripture that's in the Bible that says these are scripture,
right?
Then would that be like an extra biblical belief, or how do we justify saying that it's from the scripture if it came from some group of people, a council, you said?
So what example perhaps would you give?
Well, I'm saying it sounded like you said there was a group of people who came together that said these books seem to be have proven to be worthy of be called scripture, or
right.
God breathed. So those people decided these books should be included in the canon, but there's no list or list or anything in the scriptures of those books that say these are the books that should be in here. Would that be considered a belief that's not found in the Bible?
Yeah. So I think that's a really, really good question. Let me try to just explain it a little bit differently, and hopefully this answers your question. So again, I
have to go into a meeting, but yes. I'm going to keep listening on the radio if that's okay.
You got it.
Thank you so
Wonderful.
Much.
Thank you, brothers. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'll keep listening for the answer, though. Thank you.
Sounds good. Absolutely. And I love this question. I love talking about this because if we believe that scripture and then what the church teaches is the ground and pillar of truth, then of course we want to know that this is trustworthy. So to answer the question, and for those of you that are tuning in, the term canon, when we talk about the canon of scripture, is used to describe the books that are divinely inspired. Okay, so they're the ones that belong in the Bible. And the difficulty in determining those things, as Anthony just mentioned, the Bible doesn't give us a list of books that belong in the Bible. So determining this was a process that was conducted first by Jewish rabbis and scholars, and then later by the early church. So ultimately, this is what we know, is that God was the one that determined what books belong in the biblical canon. A book of scriptures belonged there from the moment God inspired its writing. It was simply then a matter of God convincing his followers which books should be included. So for the New Testament, the process of the recognition and the collection of these books began in the first century of the Christian church. Very early on, some of these New Testament books were being recognized already as scripture. So as I mentioned before, Paul considered, I think I said Peter, but it's Luke's writings, to be as authoritative as the Old Testament. And there's some verses to support that. Peter recognized Paul's writings as scripture. Some of the books of the New Testament were being circulated among the churches, as I mentioned before. Then you've got early church fathers like Ignatius and Clement and Polycarp. And then later Irenaeus. These are early church fathers that were recognizing. They were recognizing that these books that had already been written were in fact inspired. And so the first canon was compiled by these books that were already recognized, I think in AD 170. And then there were some councils. There was a council called the Council of Hippo and later the Council of Carthage. And they were also affirming in terms of the New Testament that these 27 books were authoritative. And the councils followed this process. So for those of you that are interested, this is how the council followed the process to determine which books should be in the Bible. Number one, was the author an apostle or did the author have a close connection with an apostle? Number two, is the book being accepted by the body of Christ at large? Of course, if God wrote a book, he would want it to be accepted by his people, right? Number three, did the book contain consistent doctrine and orthodox teaching? Number four, did the book bear evidence of high moral and spiritual value that would reflect the work of the Holy Spirit? So again, it's crucial to remember the church did not determine the canon. No early church council decided on the canon. It was God and God alone who determined what books should belong in the Bible. And then it was simply a matter of God imparting to his followers what he had already decided. So the human process of collecting the books of the Bible in God's sovereignty brought the early church to recognize the books that needed to be a part of his word. And there were a couple books that were not included because they didn't pass those tests. And so now here we are 2,000 plus years later, and God is still moving through his word and still speaking through his word. And it is still alive and it's still active. And so appreciate, Anthony, your question. I love that. I love that question. And I love talking just about how we can trust God's word. Wonderful. So thank you. All right, you're listening to Calvary Live. I'm going to give the number out again, 303-690-3000. We don't normally take that long on a particular question, but that was worth it for sure. And I'm happy to, I'd be happy to take the whole hour and talk about that. 303-690-3000. We've got Chuck calling here from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is my home. Man, so good to hear someone from Philly. I met my wife there. We had all four of our kids there. I went to Bible college there. I was involved at Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia there. So, man, so good to hear from you, Chuck.
Thank you. I'm calling for prayer. I'm driving in the car right now from Philly to the Jersey Shore.
You got it.
Listening to Hope FM.
Great.
But if you could pray for my great nephew in Colorado, my nieces, two of them moved out to Colorado, got married, had their families, and my oldest niece, her son Jackson's in the hospital in intensive care. He's only 17. And they have pulmonologists and infectious disease doctors and gastrointestinal doctors trying to figure out what's wrong with him. And he's on oxygen and he's coughing up blood and he needs prayers. But I know God knows what's wrong with him. And I hope God tells the doctors what's wrong with them so they can tend to him.
Yes. Yeah. So, Chuck, I just want to encourage you, too. We're going to take this to the Lord together in prayer right now. But I just want to remind you, too, that that as we're praying, we have thousands of people that are listening that are going to agree around this prayer. So, Lord Jesus, we come, we believe, God, that you've invited us to bring these things to you. And you haven't invited us to pray and to lift up these things that are difficult, Lord, and we don't understand. You haven't invited us to frustrate us, Lord. You've invited us to bring these things to you because you're a caring, loving God that moves through prayer. So for all that are listening right now, we want to lift up Jackson, Lord, and we want to pray as he is laying in a bed connected to oxygen right now, and the doctors aren't sure what's going on, infectious disease, all these different doctors coming in. We pray, Lord, that you would make it today clear to every single doctor what is going on in his body and that you would give them an answer to know how to respond and to move through the use of their study and their wisdom and medicine and technology to be able to help Jackson, Lord, this young 17-year-old man, to be able to sustain his physical frame and to be able to work, Lord, in a way that will bring him health. And so we pray your grace and your wisdom over these doctors, over these nurses, over those that are looking at the studies, Lord, of his body, the blood cells. Lord, we just want to lift him up and pray you'd give them wisdom. But Father, above and beyond that, Lord, and even more importantly, we pray that the God who is our great healer, your word says, would touch his physical frame, Lord. We believe that you heal. We believe that you are mighty, Lord, that you're powerful. And we know that you love Jackson. We know that you see him even before we've brought him to you in prayer. Lord, you're with him. You're standing there next to his bedside. And with a word, you could speak it and he'd be healed. With a touch, you could touch his physical frame and he would rise up, Lord, and need to no longer be on this oxygen. So, Lord, 17 years old, that's the age of one of my sons, Lord. I can't imagine. Can't imagine the pain that the parents are going through, Lord, at what Chuck is feeling as an uncle. But Lord, you understand. I think about the time one of your best friends, Jesus, Lazarus, passed away. And it says you went to his tomb and you wept. And you can understand the weight and the pain and the of the difficulty of sickness and illness. And then, of course, death, Lord. But you raised Lazarus from the dead, Lord. And you touched many and you healed them. And we believe that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So for all of us that are listening, that believe in the power, the healing touch of God, we agree, Lord, that you would touch Jackson, Lord, his physical frame. And would you give his family, would you give Chuck, would you give all those that are being affected by this a peace that comes from your heart? Your word says you give a peace that passes all understanding, and that it would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, we trust you. Our eyes are upon you. We look to you. When our hearts are overwhelmed, your word says, lead us to the rock that's higher than I. And so we just want to put this young man before you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, you're welcome, Chuck. And hey, if you get some updates, we'd love to be able to just hear from you how things are going, to continue to pray. You could text the text line again if you'd like to do that, or give us a call back. But we'd love to kind of follow along and see how he's doing.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome, brother. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
So hard, so difficult. And I'm sure there's many that are listening that are in a similar situation where there's a loved one that is currently in a hospital bed, currently struggling with an illness. Perhaps you're listening and you're the one struggling. Well, I encourage you, do as our brother Chuck did and bring it to the Lord in prayer. And you have access right now into his presence to boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence. Don't think that God doesn't hear your prayer. He hears your prayer. But then you've also got a community of God's people that will surround you and that will pray for you. And so we're privileged here at Calvary Live to pray for you. But God doesn't hear our prayers anymore just because we're pastors. That means nothing in the economy of God. You're a blood-bought son. You're a blood-bought daughter. You have just as much access into his presence. You're just as filled with his spirit as any pastor would be. And so I encourage you to pray, but then lean into people. Don't be a lone ranger Christian. Lean into those of us that can pray for you. And again, we're pastors here at Calvary Chapel in Aurora, Calvary Church. But there's churches all around. I hope that if you're listening, you have a local church as well to pray and ask your pastors and ask your brothers and sisters there at that family to pray. But just lean into people to pray, because there's so much power in prayer. Again, an old preacher once said this: with no prayer, there's no power. With little prayer, there's a little power. But with much prayer, there's much power. And I've seen that to be true in my own life as well. There's power in prayer. So, Chuck, we're praying for you guys. Jackson, we're lifting Jackson up. And again, any of the rest of you that would like prayer, perhaps this is where the Lord's going to lead the show today, give us a call, 303-690-3000. That's our number, 303-690-3000. We'd love to take your call. We've got open lines right now. So again, Bible questions are wonderful, but prayer is wonderful. If there's something that you would like prayer for, and you would like to know that all of those that are listening today are praying with you, now's the time. Today's the day. Let's do it. 303-690-3000. And we'll be back with all of you right after this break. Thanks for listening to Calvary Live.
Welcome back to Calvary Live. Give us a call at 303-690-3000 or text us at 720-336-0897. Let's join Calvary Live right now.
All right, welcome back to the second half of Calvary Live. My name is Josh Sorensen, one of the pastors here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado, right outside of Denver. And we appreciate all of you that are tuning in right now and listening to Calvary Live. We come to you every Monday through Friday from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. So wherever you're listening might be a little bit different. But we, of course, want to shout out. I didn't do this at the beginning of the show, but want to shout out Grace FM. And thank you guys for that are listening here locally on 89.7 here in Denver. Those of you down in Colorado Springs listening on 101.7. Hope FM, we just had a call from a brother calling from the Philadelphia, New Jersey area, listening on Hope FM. There's five stations out there in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Maryland. So welcome to those of you guys tuning in. Truth FM, Tennessee and North Carolina, thank you guys for listening. Higher Rock Radio, welcome to those of you listening on Higher Rock. Living Water Radio in Corpus Christi, Texas, thank you guys for tuning in. And of course, there's Radio by Grace, which is the majority of the stations carrying Calvary Live, 78 stations all over the United States tuning in right now. So we just want to say hello and thank you to those of you listening on Radio by Grace. Of course, we've got access to our app and gracefm.com, where you can get the app for free. And so that even provides an opportunity for people to listen throughout the world. And we do. We have people listening everywhere, which is just such a mind-blowing thing to think about, but also a joy. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for being a faithful part of this show. Again, Pastor Jeff Figgs is here on Mondays and Tuesdays. My pastor, Pastor Ed Taylor, and many of us that are listening, he takes over the Wednesday and Thursday show. And then I have the privilege, and I'm the new guy, so I'm still the one being raised up here in the show, but I take it on Fridays. And so just a joy to be able to take part in this with you. And again, such a joy to be able to pray with you guys as well. So 303-690-3000 is the number. 303-690-3000. I mentioned earlier that you guys, this show is for you. So lines are open for you to call with questions, prayer requests. Sometimes things are a little bit slower. And so if things are slow, it's not because I like to hear myself talk. It's just because we're waiting for calls to come in. So again, this is your show. Let's take advantage of it. If you're listening, if you're on the phone, if you're in your house and want to talk or want a prayer request, we'd love to provide this next half hour, this space for you. 303-690-3000. Again, you can text us at 720-336-0897. That's our text line available if you prefer not to talk on the radio. 720-336-0897. I do want to say hello to Kimberly, who's listening. She's actually not on the line right now. Kim, I believe you and I talked on Monday, and my producer told me you guys just had a great conversation here. I know you're reading the Bible a lot, and you're trying to learn as much as you can. I just want to say to you, I know you had a couple specific questions on the mark of the beast. We addressed it very briefly, but I'm not sure if I actually got to your exact question. But we are praying for you on your journey, and we are available. If it's not necessarily a question that we can answer here on the air, if it requires more conversation, and to be honest with you, I wasn't even exactly sure what the question was, but I would love to be able to help you with that. So I'm going to give you, Kimberly, if you're listening, my email address. And then if you want to reach out to me and we can go, I can talk to you on the phone. We can go back and forth. I can get you some things to help you process it. But I think the question that you're giving regarding the mark of the beast is a good question, because you're processing what that's going to look like and what God's going to do. And I'd love to help with that as best I can. So my email is joshs, again, my last name is Sorensen, joshs@calvaryco.church. joshs@calvaryco.church. And if you want to email me again that question, I'd love to be able to help you with that. But I just appreciate, Kimberly, the fact that you're reading the Bible a lot. Amen to that. That you're learning as much as you can. That's a wonderful thing. I love the Bible says, let us study to show ourselves approved, a workman or a workwoman, not ashamed. And I love that you're on this journey of growing in your faith and growing in your knowledge of the word. And one of the things Paul said is that he wants us to grow in the depth and knowledge of our understanding, and particularly as it relates to our knowledge of Jesus and getting to know him more. So, Kim, thank you so much for tuning into Calvary Live and for listening, and we just appreciate you. And again, our number, 303-690-3000, for those of you guys that have a question, want to call in, we'd love to be able to do that for you. We have a text that came in that asked, and this is one that we do get pretty consistently, if a person was a believer and later committed suicide, are they in heaven? Also believing, he says, or she says, in 2 Peter, that none shall perish. That's a good question. I know Pastor Ed addressed this on Wednesday. I was listening to him. I believe I addressed this question last week. So all that to say, it is a question that is on many people's hearts. And I'm sad to say we did a funeral here in the church not long ago for a person that committed suicide who was a believer. And so I had this conversation. I sat down with the family members that asked me directly this. Here they are grieving, and they had a loved one that committed suicide. And they asked me, is this loved one in heaven? So let me just start by saying, because there's so many people listening, I don't doubt that somewhere out there, there's somebody that is currently struggling with suicidal thoughts right now, or somebody who's thinking about taking their life. And I just want to say that is never, never the option out of our problems and our struggles. Life is often a deep pit, and then we get out of it and then fall into another one and we get out. And sometimes that's the pattern for a lot of us. But the point is, those deep pits, God promises us that he will help us out of that. I love Psalm 40. The psalmist, they're writing, in a deep pit says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the mire and the clay. And maybe you're here and you're feeling like you're stuck right now in mire and clay, and your circumstances are overwhelming you, and you feel that no one loves you, and you're just constantly battling these deep, dark thoughts of wanting to take your life. Well, listen, that's not God's plan for your life. God has a future and a hope for you. God can heal whatever it is that you're facing. If it's mental illness, he can heal it. If it's physical illness, he can heal it. And if he doesn't, he can work through it and bring you great joy into your life. There's so many I know that have been in that situation where God has brought them up out of the pit, has renewed them, has put a new song in their mouth, and they are different people today. And I'm so thankful that they didn't go through with that decision. And I know some, even in my own family, that have struggled with this. And so it's a personal thing to me. And I will tell those of you listening what I would say to my own children, that God loves you. God has a plan for your life, and it is never a good idea to take your life. With that being said, there are those that do take their lives, and there are those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus but get into a deep well or a deep hole that they feel that they can't get out of. And I wish that they were listening to a show like this or the show that Pastor Ed had on Wednesday to be able to hear that there's no pit so deep that God can't pull you out of it, or there's no sin so great that God's grace is not greater than. Whatever it is that you've gone through, there's no relationship so broken that God can't redeem and restore the brokenness of your own heart. He actually says he draws near to the brokenhearted and restores them. So with all that being said, once a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus, they are saved eternally. God promises he keeps them eternally in the palm of his hand. So if you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus to save you, Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus to save you, then he guarantees that he has the power also to keep you. It's not dependent upon you. So just as there were no good works that earned any favor with God, in terms of your salvation, he saved us while we were still sinners. He saved us while we were at the bottom. We were in the highways and the byways. We were the most broken of people. Gosh, I just think about my life before coming to Christ, just angry and addicted and frustrated and just not a good person. And God saved me there because I called out to him. And I knew from that moment I was saved eternally. And though I've had my doubts along the way and I've had my ups and my downs, as we all do, there's so many scriptures that want to encourage us that we are saved and that nothing we could do could keep us from being saved. Nothing we could do could earn salvation, and there's nothing that we could do to lose our salvation. So, of course, in Romans chapter 8, he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, what about suicide? Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, what if I'm struggling with sin and I keep repenting and praying the same prayer over and over and over and over and over again? Listen, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He promises that. And so for those of you that have a loved one, I think a lot of people that are asking this are those that have loved ones that have taken their lives, that had put their faith and trust in Jesus. I believe the answer is 100% unequivocally, yes, they are in heaven, and yes, you will see them again, and there will be glory on the other side of this dark trial, and glory on the other side of this deep well of pain and confusion. Because God is good and salvation is powerful. Jesus shed his blood, the most precious gift, and there's more power and more grace in that act of Jesus going to the cross than we will ever understand. But if you're asking this question because you're thinking, well, if I took my life, I'd still go to heaven. So I'm asking in that sense, I would say, please get some help. Please reach out to us here at Grace FM, Calvary Church, Aurora. We've got pastors that will sit with you. I would say this, if you're thinking about taking your life, do that. Call your local church. Call the suicide hotline. Talk to somebody rather than retreating by yourself, because that somebody can infuse hope and give you a different perspective in your life right now. So I would just encourage you guys, if you're struggling with that, there's help, there's resources out there. We're one of many, many. Again, if you're listening on Radio by Grace or Living Water Radio or Truth FM or Hope FM or Higher Rock, reach out to those radio stations. They have resources for you. If you're not here in the Denver area, we've got churches that we can recommend, pastors that will walk you through this, that will pray with you. There's so many resources and there's so much help available for you. So I can't overestimate that enough. So again, thank you for the question. My heart hurts for every person that's walking through this. Again, it's personal because I've had loved ones and friends that have battled this as well. And so hopefully that's an encouragement to those of you that are tuning in and just a better understanding of what God says about these things. Again, our number, 303-690-3000. We've got one line open for you, so you can grab that now, 303-690-3000. You're listening to Calvary Live. Thanks for tuning in. We've got Brad calling from Colorado Springs. Good afternoon, Brad.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank you. How are you guys doing down there?
Good. Wet.
Yeah. The same.
Good.
Yeah, we're there with you. So how can I help you today?
I'm calling because I guess I have kind of a to make a long story short, I've completely lost my faith. I was born and raised in the LDS Church, the Mormon Church. I'm a sixth generation Mormon that goes all the way back to the beginnings of the church. Served a Mormon mission, been in the Mormon temple, all that. And I won't bore you with I'll make a long story short and just say that I have since studied a lot of history about Mormonism and its origins and whatnot, and I've come to a place where I no longer believe any of it, and that's an awful place to be, to completely lose your faith, especially when it was the foundation of your life. And I guess looking to try to rebuild something if I can, and not sure what that's going to look like, and just curious what you might say to somebody who is looking to rebuild a faith foundation when it's been completely destroyed.
Yeah, absolutely. So at this point, where would you consider yourself in terms of your personal relationship with Jesus? Do you believe you have one? Do you believe that faith as a whole across the board is something that you're wanting to rebuild, or is it something particular in the Mormon church that you were a part of?
I don't think I can stay Mormon. That's been completely and utterly, you know, I don't have any belief in that anymore. I think that's been destroyed for me. I still think faith matters, but I just don't know what that looks like. It's strange because when you're raised Mormon, it's a very devout faith. You're all in, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort. And so to lose that feels like, you know, a boat without a rudder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know, when you say personal relationship with Jesus, I guess I don't know what that even means sometimes, because, you know, in Mormonism, it's a little bit different.
Sure.
I think in traditional Christianity, I would like to try to, you know, build something, but, I just feel like I'm in limbo a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. At some point, if you would be interested, I have a good friend of mine who's in ministry right now that also came from the Mormon church. went through some of the things I think that you've expressed here. He was on his way to become an elder in the Mormon church. He actually may have been an elder. What happened, though, is through a series of different things, he recognized that he was in the middle of a church that actually was a cult. It wasn't a born-again believing church. And there were things, as he was looking around him, that began to become very confusing and very alarming. And so what he did instead is he found out that he was stuck in something that began to really worry him. And it wasn't just him. It was his whole family. And so still to this day, as far as I know, when he left the Mormon church, this was, I think, a generation or two of family that was a part of that with him. They no longer talk to him. So they're not welcome together for holidays or for birthdays, and they've kind of abandoned him. But what I can say for him, and he'd be happy to talk through this with you, because this is a really big deal to talk about your relationship with Jesus and what is true and what is real it's the only thing that matters. After this life is over, there's a reality of life after this life. And we want to know, okay, what is the truth? And so I can just tell you this, that though Mormons profess to be Christians, and though they believe certain things that might be similar to Christianity, and there's certain parts of the Bible they might believe, they are night and day different from what we as evangelical Christians are. And one of the things I would just encourage you with is that I'll just say to you, God loves you. God has created you and formed you and knows you better than you know yourself. And so the things that you're wrestling with and this journey that you've gone on of perhaps we could call it deconstructing what you once believed and you've all of that sort of fallen apart, and now you're left scrambling and trying to pick up the pieces and asking what's true or what's not. I just want to say to you, whether it's helpful or not, I just want to say that there is a God that knows you, that sees all of that, that loves you. That the things that the doubt that you face and the things that perhaps frighten you are no match for him, that he's able to communicate the deepest longings and desires of your heart and the questions that you have running around in your head. And I believe that that's not something that you have to wish for or want. It's already there. He already loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay a price for you that no person could ever pay, that you couldn't even pay for yourself. That's why he demonstrated his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Jesus died for us. And then he rose again from the dead, of course, and he promises he's coming again soon. And that is the gospel message. That's it. We could do nothing to be saved. No good works could accomplish any of that. Not going to church, not being, none of that. He saved us in our sin. He redeems us and rescues us and wants a personal relationship with us, and will help us through the process of our doubts, will help us on this journey of faith that we're on. So I just want to say to you, the hope is not gone, that there is a God that knows you and loves you. And practically, I would just say a couple things. I would say, don't stop praying. Even if you don't know if the God that you're praying to hears you. We just talked about this in church here at Calvary Church, that God hears both the prayers of believers, his own children, and unbelievers. And so anyone that calls out with a sincere heart to God, God hears. Now, that doesn't mean that God moves in unbelievers' hearts the same way he does believers. That's a bigger conversation to have. But if you cry out to the God of the universe that loves you and knows you and sees you and understands what you're walking through, he hears your prayer. And as he hears your prayer, he will begin to move. And I can promise you that. So I know there's been times in my life where I feel like, man, I'm praying and nothing's happening and I'm not seeing any results of the prayer and I'm struggling and sometimes I just want to give up on all of this. It's too much. It's too overwhelming. Well, it's too big not to seek the Lord as best as is possible right now in the season of this journey that you're on, but he will be faithful to respond to you. And I know that Jesus has done everything to make possible this relationship with him that I asked you about. He's done all the work already. It's now incumbent upon us to say, let me examine what it is that he accomplished for me, and then do I believe it or don't I believe it? But to say I don't know if I believe it right now is a very honest answer, and that's why I say, so don't run from the Lord because of abuses that have been done in his name or because of things that have happened in the church that have brought you confusion. And I think I think it was probably the Lord's mercy that you found yourself in a faith that was a false faith. Again, Pastor Ed's talked about the Mormon faith a lot, but we would put it into the category of a cult. And that might be hard for some people to hear that don't fully understand the teachings and the doctrines of the church. But apart from all of that, there is a God who sent his son, Jesus, who loves you and knows you and wants a relationship with you. And so knowing that, even if you don't know where you're at right now, Brad, just knowing that, I would encourage you to as much as you have within you, look to him and ask him, God, if you're there, if you're true, if I found myself in something because of my life circumstances or because of my family, if I found myself in something, Lord, that was false, Lord, would you reveal everything to me that is true? And I think you're praying something that you don't need to win God's attention for. I think that is exactly what God wants to do. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know what truth is. He wants you to know what his love is. He wants you to be able to separate the lies and the falseness from the truth and the things that are real. And so I would say, don't give up on God. But I would also say, again, as I mentioned at the very beginning, there are people out there that have walked where you've walked and would be more than willing to talk to you about their own journey and perhaps answer some specific things that you came up against that really troubled you and struggled with you. And so I've got a brother. If you're interested in reaching out to you, I can put you on hold and Dennis can get your information and I can get you guys in touch with each other if that's helpful. But he's been where you are. I've talked a lot with him and now he's in a place in his life where he has a personal relationship with Jesus. He's growing, he's serving. Him and his wife are in ministry together. It's a beautiful thing. And he's walked through some of the difficulty and the brokenness that you're currently walking through.
Yeah, I would be very interested in that. Yeah, that would be, I would be extremely interested in that, actually.
Great. Awesome. Well, man, I'm so glad you called. I think these things sometimes are divine appointments and even just the bravery to call and say, hey, how should I move forward? I don't really know what to do. So, Brad, I'm going to put you on hold and then Dennis, our producer, will get your information and I'll get you guys in touch with each other. But would you mind if I pray for you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Yeah. So, Lord, you see Brad right now, Lord, and I'm so thankful that he called, Lord, as he began to question the LDS church and then left the church, and now he's not sure what to do and how to move forward. I just pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to him, Lord, because we know that our personal relationship with you has nothing to do with religious games. It has nothing to do with our church attendance. It has nothing to do with our good works. If anything, Lord, we come again in our brokenness and our confusion and our desperation with these things. And yet, God, you're able to reveal to us the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. And that is the gospel message, Paul calls it, Lord. So the fact that Jesus died for our sins, the fact that he rose again from the dead, proving not only does he have the power to say your sins are forgiven once and for all, but he also has the power to say you'll have life eternal from the moment we say yes to Jesus, which starts now, but also includes the moment we breathe our last breath on this side of eternity and we open our eyes on the other side, Lord, that you've given us access and resurrection to live eternally. And then you say, Jesus, you're coming again, wonderfully, in glory and in light. So I just pray, Lord, that you would reveal these things to Brad, that you'd bring other people into his life that can help answer some of the questions that he has. Lord, that you would give him an opportunity. And he has an opportunity even now, of course, Lord, to say, I put my faith and my trust in Jesus. If I'm not going to give up what I do know for the things I don't understand. And if I know that there's a God and I know that he sent his son and I know that his son saved me from my sins and I believe him to be my personal savior, Lord, would you save Brad and let him know that he is in fact your son? And so we're praying something again, Lord, that we believe you alone can do. No person, no church can save anybody. But the precious blood of Jesus that was shed alone, Lord, is sufficient to save everybody that puts their faith and trust in you. So I just want to pray that for Brad. I believe there's many that are listening right now that are agreeing, that are going to pray for Brad. And I encourage those of you that are listening, continue to pray for Brad, that these things that he's asking, that he will find the truth, and the truth will set him free, as Jesus says. So we put these things before you, Jesus, today in your good name. Amen. All right,
well,
Brad, you're welcome. Absolutely. I'm going to put you on hold, and our producer will get to you. We'll get your information, and I'll get you in touch with this friend of mine. I think he'll be a good encouragement to you.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
All right,
that.
Brad, thank you for calling, man. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All
no
right.
problem.
Have a great day. Okay, we have one call left for the show today because, sadly, we only have a couple of minutes left on the show. But Nancy from Miami, Florida, how are you today, Nancy? Is Nancy still there? Let me try this again. I think we're there. Are you there, Nancy?
Yes.
Wonderful. Great. Okay, wonderful. Good to hear you. Hey, how can I help you today?
I'm calling for a prayer request for my mom. She's been suffering with lymphedema for over a year now.
Okay.
And she's starting to lose a little bit of faith because the doctors really can't do anything for her at the moment. So I just want to lift her up in prayers so she can continue to have faith.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it was emphysema?
Lymphedema.
Okay, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take this to the Lord. Lord, we just lift up Nancy's mom to you, Lord. You see her, you know her, you care for her, Lord. And it is, I know, so hard to walk through a sickness and an illness, and the doctors aren't able to necessarily give the help or the answers that you're looking for. But Lord, again, your word tells us, I think of the psalmist David in Psalm 121, when he had nowhere else to turn and he had nothing, no other hope anywhere, Lord, on the horizontal perspective, he went vertical and he lifted his eyes up. And it says, I lift my eyes up to the heavens. That's where my help comes from, the maker of heaven and the maker of earth. And the maker of heaven and the maker of earth knows Nancy's mom and sees the condition that she's in. And you care for her and you invite her, and just as Nancy is doing right now, to cast all of that care, all of that frustration, all of the doubts and the uncertainties, not understanding why it is that she's walking through this. Lord, you understand, you see that. And you say that we can actually bring those things, even our frustrations, Lord, with you, the things we don't understand about the ways of God, we can bring those to you because you care for us, Lord, and you minister. In a way, as our hearts are open, Lord, you minister to us. And beyond ministering to our spirit and our soul, I pray that you would touch Nancy's mom's physical frame as well, Lord, and that your healing touch would be a part of her story to be able to tell to others, Lord Jesus. If they're a part of a local church, I pray that they do what it says in the book of James, to go to the church, to be anointed with oil, to have the elders pray over her, Lord, to do that as just an act of faith that you're a God that does heal. It's just symbolic, Lord, but I pray that would be an opportunity they would have as well there in Miami. But Lord, beyond that, Lord, whether you heal and you do heal, or whether you don't heal, God, we trust you. And we know that you are a God that can heal. And then when you choose not to, God, you're all wise, you're all powerful, and you do a deeper work of ministry. So I just want to pray that, Lord, for Nancy's mom. And we pray these things, of course, today in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Nancy, thanks for calling. God bless you guys. Thanks for tuning in to Calvary Live. Be back with you next Friday.
You've been listening to Calvary Live. Tune in next time for prayer and God's Word.